We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
You will remember that yesterday I spoke to you on the marriage of Cana of Galilee when the Lord Jesus Christ was there with his mother and his disciples. That first miracle he wrought, and that marvelous occasion, how he put his approval upon the occasion with his presence, and how he himself was the center of the scene, not the bride, not the bridegroom. He was always in the center. Wherever you see Jesus Christ, if he isn't in the center, there's something wrong. When you put him on the outside, in a little corner somewhere, it's not Christian. He has the center of the stage. He's to have the first place in all things. And he had the dominant place yet on this marriage occasion. Usually it's the bride or the bridegroom. But when Jesus was there, Jesus was the center of the occasion, center of the scene. You know, it's a wonderful thing when a couple walk up to the marriage altar and have a Christian wedding. That's a wonderful thing. Yeah, I was talking to a girl here at the school day or two ago, a very fine girl, and she's been going with a boy before she came here that she's not exactly engaged to, but it's sort of understood. But in the atmosphere of the school here, she has had a spiritual vision and slant. And she thinks possibly this person is saved. She thinks possibly he is. And he's a decent fellow and all that kind of thing. But she said he doesn't have that spiritual understanding, see. Well, you know, the greatest thing that binds Christian people together is that spiritual apprehension. You know, it's not just physical charm or mental charm. It's something beyond that. You know, when you get married, it's not always a smooth sea that you're going to sail. You know, when you say, I wish you much happiness, well, you don't get married to just be happy. You're going to have trouble in married life. You're going to have aches and pains and sorrows. And sometimes your wife, if she's like the average woman, she'll cry. And you don't ever go to crying around me and get anything I've got. I can stand anything except a woman's tears. I think that I never have understood why a woman wants political position or anything else. She can get what she wants. She'll just cry for it. So you're going to have trouble. You can figure that out. There'll be rough roads, sick children, little coffin will come in the home, disappointments, ups and downs. That's life. God never promised you an easy, smooth road, even in this world. Now, don't misunderstand me. Love does a great deal to soften the sorrows. Wonderful to have somebody that understands and all that, you know. But it won't be heaven, not even when you love each other. You might think it will, but it won't be heaven. You're not in heaven. You're in the flesh, in the world. And you have your aches and your pains and your disappointments and your sorrows. And your children come along, you think the devil's going to get them, whether he does or not. I think sometimes nearly every parent feels like, well, the devil's going to get this child if I don't do something quick. I know when Bob was a little fellow, I used to be afraid the devil would get him before he grew up. And we'd pray with him, whip him, and try everything you think of, keep him straight. You know how those things go. So you're in a world where God didn't promise you an easy time. And he didn't promise you all happiness. There are many bright places, much sunshine, all that for people who are right. But, you know, to just wish people happiness, what you should wish them is that they may have divine grace to get along and run a Christian home and get as much happiness as God wants them to have out of life. See? So a wedding occasion is a great occasion, you know. And it's a time that we throw rice at the bridegroom and the bride and wish him well, throw a slipper at him, do all sorts of things, you know how we do. Great occasion. And it's nice, it's all right, nothing wrong with it. It ought to be a happy time. Because the bridegroom and the bride's like the bride of Christ, which is his body, the church. He's a bridegroom. And sometime the bridegroom is coming back to get his bride. It's going to be a glorious day, you know. Up in heaven when he takes the bride up there, dead in Christ, to raise living saints to translate. It'll be a wonderful occasion. It'll be a great time. You know, the great marriage feast has come. And what a feast it'll be. Glorious time. And when that is completed, then all the sorrows are gone, because we will be with the Lord forever. See, there'll be no separation of bridegroom and bride, and pain and suffering and sickness and sorrows all over. See, be a wonderful thing. No baby will ever be crying in pain, no anxious hours around the bedside of a child at night. No wondering, is he going to live? Has he got a bad, is his condition serious? Is there any way doctor to pull him through, you know? None of that after that. But we are not there. We are in this world. We are still here in the flesh. But we are subject to aches and pains and sorrows and troubles in this world. We're under attack. And we Christian people, devil doesn't let us alone. If we live godly, we suffer persecution. You remember, I think I spoke to you one time. I'm sure I spoke to you at chapel. On all the things that God promised us if we were along with him. Houses, lands, all these wonderful things. If we go out, all out for it. But there's something in that that very few people ever read. It says, with persecutions. See? Doesn't matter how much house you live in. Bigger the house, usually the more trouble you have. You know, I had a woman tell me one time, she said, I wish I was back in that little cottage we started in. Just two or three rooms. And said, I got this big house and supervising the servants here. Wasting running the house I started out in. So it doesn't matter how fine a house you have, how much land you have, how much money you make, or who you are, anything about it. You don't have persecutions if you're right with God. So you go out that way, and it's a wonderful thing to have Jesus at the wedding. It's a wonderful thing to walk up to the marriage altar under divine guidance. Now, he has a will. He has a will for you. You know, if we were just willing to let him have his way with us, his way would be so much better than our way. He would direct us. For instance, I was talking to a girl here some time ago. She had a little trouble with her sweetheart. And I said, honey, don't you worry about that. I said, it might be the best thing ever happened to you to lose that fellow. You know, the Lord knows better what's good for you than you do. And then I told her a story. I remember way back in the early days of school, we had a very fine girl in our school. She was a talented, gifted musician. And she was converted the first night of school. I led her father to the Lord when I was holding a meeting here before she was born. And then she came out and saved the first night of school. And she fell in love with a boy, desperately in love with him, too. And she had it bad. She had a lot of heart. When she went out, she went all out. Whether it's music or whether anything else. So this fellow I knew wasn't worthy of. We kept thinking we might have to let him go to school. But managed to keep him on while she's there. And he hasn't turned out bad, see. Not bad. But he's never become a spiritual leader. He's a worldly man with a worldly conception and a worldly slant. So when this girl and this boy broke up, she came to see me. You know, I used to keep up with them more than do now. I can't out here. I'm gone so much, and there's so many of them. I can't get them all boyfriends out here now. Too many of them. They have to look out themselves, and some of them can do it pretty well, too. They don't need much help. So she came in to see me, and she talked the thing over. And I said, now listen, this is probably the best thing ever happened to you. But she said, I know. But she said, you know, I thought a lot of him. I said, I know you did, but... But I said, he doesn't have your slant. And this is the best thing ever happened. Don't worry. Later, she fell desperate in love with one of the finest preachers that ever came to Bob Jones University. He is one of the outstanding Bible students. And they married. I've been with him several times and spoken to him. And one time I said, and by the way, I happen to know that her husband was in love with another person, too. Wasn't God's will for him, either. He was always a fine fellow. So I said to her one day, I said, honey, you ever stop to think about it? Where would you have been if you'd have married that other fellow? You know, if Jesus isn't at the wedding, it's a poor wedding. If he isn't in the business, it's poor business. If he isn't in the home, it's a poor home. If he doesn't have first place in the school, it isn't Christian. Jesus has to have first place there. If he doesn't have first place in your life, you're not going to live a successful life. The world may think you're successful, but not. He's essential. The Lord Jesus Christ is essential to everything that's worthwhile. Now listen, he's a light that lights every man that comes into the world. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. And what happened? It manifested his forth his glory, and the disciples believed on. Now that miracle manifested the glory of Jesus. The occasion did not manifest the beauty of the bride, though she may have been beautiful. I've often thought I'd like to meet that couple up somewhere in heaven and talk to them sometime, because they were evidently good people. They wouldn't have been having Jesus and all that crowd there if they hadn't been pretty respectable. They'd have been having a wild, drunken party maybe or something. Wouldn't have been that kind of wedding. So, didn't say the bride was beautiful. She probably was. She probably was. You know, some of those people around that Mediterranean country were very beautiful people. Prettiest eyes I've ever seen are some of those eyes. I've seen those eyes over there. There's a depth of beauty that I've never seen anywhere else that I've seen around the Mediterranean or in that section. So she's probably a beautiful girl. And the bridegroom may have been a prominent man. But that occasion didn't show off the bride. It didn't show off the bridegroom. You know, it manifested the glory of Jesus Christ. See? Now, his glory should be the supreme purpose in all we do. We should run a home for his glory. Everything we do, we should do for his glory. Whatsoever we do in word and deed, do all for the glory of God. That's the way we should live. A wedding should be a Christian wedding. Home should be a Christian home. A business transaction should be a Christian business transaction. Everything a Christian does should be Christian and show forth the Lord Jesus Christ, see? You know, it's a wonderful thing to mingle with people and represent Christ in a world where he's rejected. Now, here he was on his way to a cross because he came to heaven to die. And the first miracle he performed was on a happy occasion at a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the miracle he performed showed forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. It confirmed the faith of his disciples. It showed forth Jesus Christ. We tell him in Bob Jones University that the business of this school is to exalt Christ. That's the primary business of a Christian institution and of a Christian. And when you get to where you don't do that, you cease to be Christian. You might exalt something as an instrument that makes him first and say this instrument's important for the exaltation of Christ. But when you exalt any instrument or anything else over and above Christ, whether it's education, whatever it may be, then you do not manifest the glory of Jesus Christ. His glory should be supreme. Our Heavenly Father, bless all that listen in. Help us to exalt him and show forth his glory, to be faithful to him in everything, and keep us near thyself this day and near the Lord Jesus Christ. And may he be supreme in our thoughts and all we do. We pray in his precious name. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.